The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
And it's the Pat Kenny Show with Anton in for Pat. Thousands of students across the country are preparing to sit their state exams in the coming weeks. And of course, for the Leaving Cert class of 2024, it's likely their first experience of a state exam because they missed the Junior Cert in 2021 thanks to COVID. Obviously, a lot of students and parents apprehensive, wondering about what may lie ahead. So we have with us the man who can answer all those questions, Brian Mooney, Guidance Counsellor and Irish Times Education Correspondent. Unusual Leaving Cert cohort, Brian, in that they didn't do the junior.
Yeah, this is the first formal exam they've ever sat in their life. Now, they may have had their mocks a couple of months ago, but the anxiety and stress of, you know, sitting a state exam probably has them in a heightened state of, you know, stress over the weekend. And I would just say to them, look, you've done it. You've three years since you went into transition year, fifth and sixth year. Don't get stress or anxiety. In fact, you know, I would say chill out over the weekend. You know what I mean? You're facing into a 3-week marathon. You know, at the end of the day, every paper matters. So your physical health, your mental health, your energy, everything, you know, your diet, you know, don't do any crazy sports things that might break an arm or break a leg. But, you know, take time out and arrive on Wednesday morning fresh and energised, ready for Maths Paper 1, English Paper 1.
On the topic of breaking an arm or breaking a leg, the portal, the student portal has now been updated with schedule, but also with every possible response to every potential crisis, including broken arms and broken legs.
Yeah, absolutely. If, in fact, you have a son or daughter doing the Leaving Cert today, they will receive a document in their portal, which is online, which gives them every single scenario that could possibly happen. It gives all the dates, which have not been published until today. Obviously, we knew that the results were coming out on the 23rd. We now know that the students can access their marks, including everything they got in the exam on the 27th. They can view their scripts on the weekend of the 31st of August, 1st of September, and most of that will be online. And they can appeal their results if they want to on the 1st of September from 10 a.m. until 5 p.m. on the 2nd of September. So the State Exams Commission today is putting out those details to students, and obviously parents would be concerned in terms of being away and holidays and all that sort of thing as to when they need to be around.
They also have laid out the entire schedule through from next Wednesday until Tuesday the 25th. We kick off with English Paper 1. Are there any particular marathon days of writing when you look at the way it's
well, if you look at the way it's structured there, Anton, obviously everybody will be doing, you know, English Paper 1 on Wednesday morning. Most people will be back then on Thursday afternoon for English Paper 2. A rather large cohort will be doing geography on Friday morning. Maths Paper 1 for everybody will be on Friday afternoon. The heavy lift will probably be Monday and Tuesday. Maths Paper 2 in the morning, Irish Paper 1 in the afternoon, Irish Paper 2 on Tuesday morning, and biology on Tuesday afternoon. With then French, which most is obviously the most popular foreign language, on Wednesday morning, and history on Wednesday afternoon. And then it kind of begins to ease off a bit.
Have you got any recommendations in respect of exam process or technique? Do you suggest taking regular breaks during the exams, or do you write furiously until somebody says stop?
What you do is, first of all, when the invigilator is walking down the room, do not panic. Some people do and go, oh, give me the ordinary paper. You know what I mean? Do not panic. Whatever you've prepared for, take it, because that's what you've been working for two years now. Read the paper fully, calmly when you get it. Because at the end of the day, if you're stressed, you may think that you've been asked something and you jump in and start writing. Read the paper fully when you have received it. And then go to the back of your answer book, write rough work, and then start jotting down the key points on each of the questions you're planning to do. If you've decided to do 3 or 4 particular questions, jot down in 5 or 10 minutes the key points, because you're in a state of stress. You won't remember half of them at that moment in time.
But when you do that, you then go back to the beginning of the answer book, start on the one you feel most comfortable with and start writing. Your body starts relaxing. And as you know, Anton, your brain has the capacity. You know, if you meet somebody, you can't remember their name, you're walking down the street, 10 minutes later, it pops into your head. Exact same in the exam. If you've already structured your answers, your brain is working at the back when you're writing in the front. And as you're going along, the bits begin to fill into place. It's like a jigsaw puzzle. So gradually, you're filling the bits at the back with the rough work and you're coming backwards and forwards. And then when you are, by the way, when you finish each question, leave a gap at the end so that you can come back if you remember something else and you can drop it in at the bottom. When you have finished all of it, if you have time left, as any good journalist knows, reread your stuff, because when you reread your stuff, other things will occur to you. Use up every minute you have. And when you have that done, you've done a good job.
Where do you stand on time allocation per question? So let's say you're facing
12. Oh, absolutely. Once you have done that 10-minute prep, depending on the number of marks for each individual question, allocate yourself a proportion of time. By the time you get to the end of it, you will have secured the vast majority of the marks you could possibly secure on the question. Stop. If you haven't finished, leave the gap. Go to the next question, give the time allocation. If you have time at the end and there's any gaps, go back and fill it before, obviously, you reread the whole thing. So obviously, you're very right, because unless you do the time allocation, you could end up getting to the end of the exam and find that there's one question still undone.
What about taking a break? Because I had a teacher who recommended that at the halfway point, you would literally set aside 3 minutes, take a break, take a drink, have a snack, and then get stuck back in again. I always worried about that the 3 minutes might be vital.
That 3 minutes, I would be loath to recommend somebody take a break. You know, at the end of the day, as we can see from looking through it, like, you know, when you finish English paper one on Wednesday, you have home ec in the afternoons, very small numbers, engineering on Thursday morning, very small numbers. You're not back again till Thursday afternoon. So you know what I mean.
Do you still get Leaving Cert stress dreams?
Not too often, because it's so long ago, Anton. 1971, it's a while back.
The options then for people when they are filling out forms and making decisions and all the rest of it, in terms of all of their eggs being in one basket, which is the assumption that everything hinges on that. How accurate is that assumption?
It's completely inaccurate. Obviously, the CAO sent out information to the students. Again, it's all online. Nothing goes by post anymore. So students got information from the CAO as to what's on their particular record. Included in that was the Leaving Cert number, which they would have got from the State Exams Commission. There are several hundred, if not more, where they don't have a Leaving Cert number, or there was some mix-up between, you know, maybe a misspelling or an Irish version of a name or whatever. Make sure that you have checked the data, or your son or daughter has checked the data from the CAO to make sure that's fully accurate. After that, they now have till the 1st of July. And as you can see from the schedule, the very last exam is Religious Education and Applied Maths on the 25th. The 1st of July is the date that actually matters in relation to the application to the CAO, because effectively that's the date at which you have to list your courses in the order you want them. You can dump everything you've done up to now. You can replace it. The only thing you can't do is put in a restricted application course now where there was an interview or a portfolio prep stuff back in March or April, where, you know, there was interviews for musical or artistic or art or whatever. Make absolutely sure that if you are applying for the CAO that you have checked out, go to Qualifex and look at the details of every course. Make sure that you have the entry requirements for every course. And if you're applying for the CAO, put them down in the order. Now, is the CAO, as you say, the only ball in town? Absolutely not. I am chairman of a number of further education colleges. You know, PLCs this year were up by 11%. We have over 2,000 courses in the PLC sector. We have thousands of opportunities there, and people can go and do PLCs. They can do dental nursing, animal care, chefing, fashion buying, beauty industry, journalism directly from their PLC. Many other students do PLCs, and they do pre-law or pre-business or pre-science. They can get into the CAO the following year with hundreds of points less than that they would have needed directly from the Leaving Cert. Those opportunities there. Apprenticeships, we now have 75 different apprenticeships across the entire economy. We have,
you know, an apprenticeship population of 27,500. We have over 9,000 employers, apprentices, university degrees. You get level 8 degrees on some apprenticeships. You're paid from day one. There are opportunities for students to go abroad to European universities where they can do degrees through English, hundreds of points less than you might need in Ireland. Again, through the UNICAS website, www.unicas.ie. There is nobody doing the Leaving Cert today, Anton, for who has a particular interest in a career area where they cannot find a progression path that doesn't depend entirely on the CAO.
So there is a side window if the front door doesn't work?
There are side windows all around the house.
You mentioned points. Where do we stand on the normalisation of the points? Because we had that odd disparity between if you were resitting and had been on an inflated year versus where we now are.
Let me simplify this. I wrote about this in my column in the Times on Tuesday. When the Leaving Cert was sat in 2021, it was not sat in 2020, we had the inflated grades, which was then replicated in 22 and 23. That basically means that when your paper is corrected, it will be adjusted upwards to match exactly the statistical pattern for 23 and 22 and 21 and 20. So we're now going to have 5 years that are artificially adjusted upwards. That means that the students doing the Leaving Cert this year will have the exact same points profile as the students for the last 4 years. The only problem is that what happens in 2025, effectively, when the minister has said they're going to start coming down. Now, effectively, that is going to mean that the 12,000 to 15,000 students who have done the Leaving Cert this year and in previous years, who'll be applying next year, will have an enhanced grade profile higher than when they start bringing down the system. I have been saying for a number of years, and in fact, in the next few days is the final opportunity to do something about this. The CAO will meet and they will determine their rule book for 2025. That's the registrars mainly of the main universities. I'm suggesting that to protect the class of 2025, we actually need to ring fence the places. Now, the CAO will say, can't do that, legal, it could be challenged. We ring fence places for primary school teaching for people from the Gaeltacht. We ring fence places for people to Trinity for the Church of Ireland. We ring fence places for here, for there, for disability, for disadvantage. There's nothing stopping us ring fencing places for the class of 25.
We ring fence Trinity places for the C of I. Do we for the Church of Ireland?
No, for nursing in the what was the Adelaide, etc. What I'm saying is there are examples throughout the entire system where there are specific ring fencing. And we need to find a system that when we start bringing the point, the Leaving Cert grades back to the normal pattern in 2025, gradually, that we need to protect those classes because there will be 12,000 to 15,000 applicants who will be holding enhanced grades, as will the class of 2024.
And can we not simply bake in the inflation and make it a permanent reality of the system at this stage?
Well, the point is, what it means is that when you get corrected, they have to actually sit down and adjust every single student's paper to bring that paper into the pattern. So if you're reviewing your scripts, you will see that you got 84%, but you'll have been told you got 88% or 90% brings you to the next grade. So effectively, there's a long, complex process involved of adjustment, which will be repeated this year. So the class of 2024, that is why it's on the 23rd of August and not back on the 14th or 15th of August.
Brian, thank you very much. Brian Mooney, Guidance Counsellor and Irish Times Education Correspondent. And you were saying that it was a long time since you sat the Leaving Cert and therefore you didn't still get the stress dreams. Tech says, I'm 62 and had a nightmare last week that I had to sit my Leaving Cert exams. You wake with a horrible feeling and then massive relief. Good luck to all doing exams.
And good luck.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.